Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And our friends that are Canadian sports fans around the globe, welcome to episode number 107 of the program. And it is a football Friday here in the bunkers. We take you into a very busy sports weekend out here in Western Canada, originating from the bunker. I am the host, Rod Peterson. The co-host is here, Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Hey, it's like if I'm Bob Cole, he's Harry Neal.
My favorite duo of all time. All time. Bob Cole and Harry Neal. I love it. That's what I grew up with. So,
I love him too.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the photo, Clark. When you hear that, oh, sorry. There you go.
Whoops.
Bob Cole and Harry Neal.
You know, it's not the first time we've been called that either. Doing Pats games, we were called Bob Cole and Harry Neal.
That's right. So we're off.
From about 15 feet out.
Coming up on the program today as we get ready for week 21 in the CFL, very excited to welcome to the bunker Dustin Nielsen. He will call the Riders and Eskimos tomorrow on TSN. He's also the morning man of TSN 1260 Radio Edmonton. And it's kind of nice because I was on his show this morning. Now he's coming on our show here in moments. He's in a cab on his way up here to the bunker. Also on the program today, Sportsnet's Arash Madani with a wrap on the World Series and the seven-game Washington Nationals win over the Houston Astros. And also, as I look at our guest board, Britton Griffiths, Mighty Mouth, Edmonton sportscaster to talk Eskimos and Oilers, and also Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran. He of the Columbus Blue Jackets currently and also of Flames broadcasts on Rogers Sportsnet. By the way, this is the morning, the opening rollout, the rollout for Flooring Superstore. The Cody Fajardo watch is on, and that's why I've got John Frenzy in the bunker here to open it up, because the Riders just announced their roster, and I have to thank Sandra watching. She told us before anybody else that Cody Fajardo is on the depth chart and listed as number one for the Riders on Saturday against the Eskimos. That doesn't necessarily mean, gentlemen, as you know, that he'll play. But Fajardo is at least on the roster.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I'll get to that with Lynch. What else? We'll talk about all the Week 21 CFL games. Friday night football tonight, Montreal and Ottawa. Two questions for me. Do Red Blacks fans have a right to be as ticked off as they are with the season they have? I don't think that they do. And that might just be me. Will midnight strike on the Cinderella Alouettes? Not tonight, necessarily. I'm talking about in the playoffs. Or are they the Cinderella team? Couple of questions there, but we'll get to today. Triple header on Saturday in the CFL. Edmonton at Saskatchewan, as mentioned. Toronto and Hamilton. And then Calgary at BC. Who's in more trouble? Because I'm starting to hear a lot of talk out of Vancouver that the BC Lions might be making a head coaching change. I don't know if you guys have heard that. Lynch,
yeah,
you
probably have. Yep, I sure have.
Who's in more trouble? Corey Chamblin or Devone Claybrooks amongst non-playoff teams? Because I think Rick Campbell's earned enough stripes in Ottawa that he's fine.
Devone Claybrooks all the way.
Right. And I heard from the Blue Bombers last night regarding our take on the Andrew Harris situation. And it was a very cordial discussion. They're good guys.
Yeah.
But their take, guys, is that their take as a football club is that Andrew Harris served his time. He served his suspension. And hopefully we could all move on, and then they feel that he should have been eligible for year-end awards. I don't. And I said, obviously, the court of public opinion feels that the punishment's not over with, and that's why we have a vote for such things. And they understood, and that was that. But I guess they wanted to be heard, and I appreciate them reaching out. Want to talk about the Canada West semifinals a little bit today. Manitoba, Calgary, Saturday at noon, followed by Alberta at Saskatchewan, Saturday at 3 p.m., and you'll be broadcasting it, correct?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we want to get to today. But I'll start with you, Frenzy. How relieved are you that Cody Fajardo's on the roster? Because you called me last night very upset. I was worried about you.
Yeah, I said I was going to go in the street and let a truck hit me. And you said, what do you mean? What do you mean? You were quite upset with me. Yeah.
No, I
wasn't. I'm extremely relieved. I mean, it would have been just too much for the great season we've had. third best season in team history, do not have our quarterback when it should be an easy game for us, folks. This is, from what I hear from the inside, the Eskimos are dropping three of the regulars for this, including Harris. So it should be an easy win for the Riders. And then I see this thing come up. It scares me, but I'm very relieved. I'm sure he can play. I'm sure they'll give him a dose of something, inject him with something. And I'm sure Cody is going to play no matter what.
Yeah, you play this game and you win this game and then you get a week off, right? So you get some time to rest.
Right.
I know originally it wasn't feared that it was too serious. I mean, he was fine to come out for the press conference, did that. There was no issues. Not that you need to have a good back to do a press conference, but it seemed like all was fine. And we find out that in the close practice, they maybe tweaked up his back a little bit. He's on the depth chart. That's a positive sign. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play.
Right. And you know, I was going there.
We've seen that lots. You put him as the starter because that's what you're going to do. And he's on the roster. He can be one of your scratches at the end, or he can, you know, be the backup and let Harker start. So doesn't mean he's going to play yet, but it is definitely a good sign.
Clark has the depth chart and he's going to put it up on screen for our viewers this morning. Can you zoom in on that, Clark, for us here? There we go. Thank you. So into the roster, 30, Brown, 48, Johnson Jr., 65, Vaughn, and 98, DeBeyer. Off the roster, Derek Moncrief, Adawu, Cofield, and Zach Evans. So four in, four out, and Zach Caleros, or sorry, a lot of people confusing Zach Caleros for Cody Fajardo, including me, but okay, that's good, guys. Cody Fajardo atop the depth chart at number one. And I'm kind of with you, Darren. It's not hard for them to put him at number one because it doesn't change anything.
Yep. Right? Isaac Harker, two, and you got Bennett, three. It's easy. He could be one of your last, you know, scratches on game day, and you still have Harker and Bennett to handle the offense. Doesn't really mean a whole lot today to me.
But as I mentioned on Edmonton Radio this morning, had Cody Fajardo played in this game, and he still may, but if it was confirmed right now, this would be nothing more than a 6-inch putt to me, this game on Saturday. You mentioned Trevor Harris not playing. I've seen a further list that Greg Ellington's not playing. Kwaku Boateng's not playing. Most of their stars are not playing for Edmonton. It would have been a 6-inch putt with the Cody Fajardo-led Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But we're still not totally sure. Riders will have their walkthrough before too long, what is it, around noon, or actually in about 15 minutes' time, I think, and then Craig Dickinson will meet with the media. Will he just say, yes, we're Cody Fajardo starting, guaranteed, or it's a game-time decision. We'll see how Cody feels overnight, and he'll make the decision to play.
Yeah.
And then how does that change the game?
I think that's exactly what he'll say. As of right now, Cody Fajardo's our starting quarterback. All signs point to him being ready to go for the game, but if something should happen, we got two capable guys in behind him. There, I did the news conference for him.
There you go.
That's all he's going to say. It's exactly what he's going to say. And why wouldn't he?
Good chance he'll start.
Yeah.
And if he has trouble, they'll put Isaac in. And the first 10 minutes, they have trouble, can't throw the ball the way he's used to. They'll put him in, put Isaac Harker in, and that's the way it'll be.
Fajardo rides again.
Fajardo rides again. But taking out people from Edmonton from their lineup, like those two guys, Boateng and Ellington, and the quarterback, they are really trying to save the guys for the next 3 weeks. I mean, it's three road games in a row they're facing, eh? So they want to be healthy for them. I can understand it.
That was the big news as we went to air this morning, the Cody Fajardo watch. And again, the Riders just releasing their roster, and he is listed as number one atop the depth chart. By the way, morning headlines, Max Domi scored 27 seconds into overtime, and the Montreal Canadiens beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-4 on Thursday. Matthew Tkachuk tied the game in the final minute of regulation and scored the winning goal with just over a second left in overtime, leading the Calgary Flames to a 6-5 win over the Nashville Predators on Thursday. And the San Francisco 49ers are unbeaten through the halfway mark of their season. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 317 yards and four touchdowns as San Francisco beat the Arizona Cardinals 28-25 to improve to 8-0. That came on Thursday Night Football. But for the Cardinals, who are my second NFL team behind the Dallas Cowboys, that was a fairly impressive showing against an unbeaten 49ers squad last night.
Fairly is about the best way to describe it. I thought I was very impressed with San Francisco, particularly Garoppolo. Accuracy. His accuracy is unbelievable. And four touchdown passes, over 400 yards to passing.
What a job done by Your namesake,
John Lynch. Got to be a relative.
It's got to be a relative. All right, let's bring in Sportsnet's Arash Madani now for, as you know, we could have a wide-ranging visit with Arash, but he was just on the air for the World Series, the history-making World Series, Washington beating Houston 6-2 in Game 7. We watched it all. How you doing, Arash?
I'm doing well. I'll tell you what, fellas, what impressed me most about the 49ers is that defense. I hadn't gotten an up-close look at them since early in the season, but their linebackers fly. They get to the quarterback, and Richard Sherman's looking like the fountain of youth has returned. I mean, he's Legion of Boom era kind of talent right now.
Are you sold on the Niners then as potential Super Bowl faves?
Yeah, I am. I mean, Roddy, I mean, I think a big part of it is George Kittle's health and his knee flared up on him last night. But the addition of Emmanuel Sanders, the fact that they can really run the football, and they're getting two offensive linemen back. Don't forget, Joe Staley has been out for what, the last 5-6 weeks? And so you get another guy off the, you know, a tackle returns, and that's going to help you up front. I think they're better than the Rams. I think they're better than the Seahawks in that division. And head-to-head in a one game, put them up against New Orleans, put them up against your Cowboys. I mean, who else? Green Bay? Sure. Why not San Francisco?
I love the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm really surprised at him, how good he is. He's so accurate. Don't you find him that way? Really good.
Yeah, absolutely. John. And you think back to the whole situation of how Garoppolo ended up in San Francisco. I mean, if you believe that ESPN report, Bill Belichick wanted Jimmy G. He felt that Garoppolo was the succession plan to Brady, but then it was Robert Kraft who stepped in and said, no, Tom's like another son to me. Tom's going to be the quarterback. I mean, it's kind of worked out. They've won two Super Bowls since. But moving forward, Tom's on the wrong side of 40. And you look at Garoppolo, who signed the big contract with San Francisco, he looks to be the franchise quarterback of the future. And when you think about all the big-time quarterbacks in the league, the young quarterbacks, the Deshaun Watsons, the Jared Goffs, the Carson Wentzes, the Dak Prescotts, I think I take Garoppolo ahead of all of them.
Well, the way he's playing right now, absolutely. And from a Dallas perspective, double absolutely. What is your World Series wrap around? It's unbelievable that the road team won every game in a 7-game series. First time in the Big Four that's ever happened. And you just seem to be a kid again almost. Like that. You always loved baseball, but what was your take on that series?
Well, my take is the Nationals. The Nationals are not quite the St. Louis Blues, but damn close. I mean, we're talking about a team that had to win the last 8 regular season games just to get in. They win the wildest of wild card games over Milwaukee to get into the divisional series. They're down 2-1 to LA, and many had the Dodgers going to the World Series. They go into Chavez Ravine, elimination game, not only hit 2 home runs off Clayton Kershaw in relief to force extra innings, but a grand slam in the 11th by a 35-year-old Howie Kendrick, who a year ago his Achilles had come apart. And then Kendrick goes on to become the NLCS MVP. And a team that was 19-31 on May 23rd, 12 games below 500 on the May long weekend, comes back and not only wins the World Series, but does so winning no games in the World Series at home, and does so going 5-0 in elimination games in October. I mean, that's one heck of a parlay if you're going to bet it in Vegas. And in a lot of ways, yeah, they're the underdog story with great stories, and it's the oldest team in baseball with some vets and with some adults in the room who got it done.
Arash, do you think the people in Montreal, in Washington, I should say, really care much about baseball? I mean, hockey and football seem to be the two sports there. I forgot they had a team almost.
John, you know, it's interesting you brought that up because that's what I was asking around, because football in Washington has always been king. And it's amazing. Dan Snyder has absolutely crushed the football in that market. I mean, they have been so bad and there are so many self-inflicted wounds. Now, look, the Redskins are still number one. Let's not get it twisted. But when I spoke with the locals there, and this shocked me, local television ratings, the Nationals regular season, and this is before the playoffs. I mean, they were 4 first-round exits, don't forget, until this year. The Nationals regular season TV broadcasts in the market do better than the Capitals and the Wizards combined.
Oh, amazing.
Better than the NHL team and the NBA team in that market combined. Now, the NFL is a totally different animal. You can't compare it. It's once a week, etc. But people were into it, and I believe the parade's going to be tomorrow. It was legit there. The Nationals are a real thing there, and that's something I didn't know until spending a lot of the last month down there in D.C.
Lastly, Arash, on what I believe is your favorite league, the CFL, heading into Week 21, not a ton of intrigue to end the regular season, but as far as Grey Cup contending teams, what are you seeing?
Well, I heard the first part of your conversation, Rod, and I just don't know why you would play Cody Fajardo this week. Look, it doesn't matter what happens now. All that matters are the last two games in November. So what's the best situation and scenario to put yourself in? And to me, that's Fajardo resting. I covered the NBA Finals, and I've talked to a lot of sports science people since about the whole management of Kawhi Leonard, the load management that they called it. And the most important thing is health and rest and availability. And if it means him missing this week, so be it. So be it. This exercise is not about November 1st, November 2nd, November 3rd. This entire thing is about getting to Calgary as healthy as you can possibly be, you know, 3 weeks from now. And that's the fundamental point here. So whether or not Fajardo plays this week, I think is irrelevant overall. But more importantly, I think it's of greater benefit to the greater good if Cody sits this week just to get himself right.
Totally get it, but I can hear Rider fans screaming at their screens saying, but Arash, they need to win this game to clinch first and home field in the West Final, and I don't think they can do it without Cody Fajardo. That's why they want him to play so bad.
So, and then here comes the conversation. What's the risk reward? What's the benefit? If you sit him this week and you're able to still, I mean, what have we seen from the Calgary Stampeders that suggest that it's a slam dunk? Look, they just lost to Winnipeg. They lost to Winnipeg, quarterback. This has nothing to do with Zach Collaros' ability. A guy who hasn't played in how long? Just showed up and they beat the Stampeders. These are not last year's Stampeders. It's a different Calgary team. And quite frankly, the Saskatchewan Roughriders are good enough to go into McMahon and beat them there. Home field advantage in Calgary is not that significant. The weather factor is about the same. The crowd noise is a very little consequence. And that's in a worst case scenario. The Riders are a better football team with Cody Fajardo as close to 100%. And if it means him sitting this week, it's the way it goes.
That's why you're the best. You've given us plenty to gnaw on for the next 2 hours, Arash. Go and enjoy your weekend, my friend, and thank you so much for the time.
Tell Lynch his nephew's doing a great job in San Francisco, will you?
John Lynch Jr., absolutely. Thanks, Arash. Arash Badani chiming in from Toronto. And the Facebook wall's just gone off like a slot machine. Ding, 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 ding. Comments from Rider fans that Arash says, sit Cody Fajardo Saturday night. We'll talk about that and more. Plus, Dustin Nielsen coming into the bunker. I actually think he's here right now from the CFL on TSN. Can't wait. We'll be right back. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Stop in and see Trent Dickin and his crew just off Arcola Avenue East. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on this Friday morning. It is a football Friday. We're already into the second seating. Darren Dupont's been moved out. He'll be back in for the overtime segment. Right, Deuce? He's sitting over there, part of the live studio audience. John Frenzy remains in the bunker, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. And it's not his RP show debut, but it's his in-person debut. Dustin Nielsen of TSN 1260 Edmonton and the CFL on TSN. How you doing, Dusty?
Good, man. This is cool seeing it from this perspective.
What do you think? You got a tour of the whole place?
Yeah, it's good. I feel bad that I bounced Dupes out of the chair for a bit, but sorry, man.
He said he's got stuff to do. He's got stuff to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you came in with headphones on. Were you listening to what Arash said? Because he's just ignited the Rider Nation.
Well, I was listening to a fantasy football podcast on the way here, but I took it off and I did hear what Arash said, and I see some of the comments right now as well. And I like Arash, but I disagree. You might be in a position here against the Eskimos where you can get a big enough lead in the first half that you could just sit Fajardo in the second half, which is something that they might want to take a look at. But I think the importance of a home playoff game is huge. I mean, the last thing you want to do is have to go into Calgary and take on a Calgary team that's had so much success and has been there so many times. So the Eskimos aren't playing Harris. They're not playing Ellingson. They're not playing Ricky Collins Jr. So a lot of their defensive guys, I looked at their defensive line. I think a lot of those guys are going to dress, but they're not starting. So I think Jason Moss kind of just wants to get through this game and get ready for Montreal. So I think this is easy for the taking, and I don't know if you'll need Fajardo the whole game to get it done.
You can see how the fans are upset with that, though.
Yeah.
Rider fans, well, right? Like, how could you say rest this guy?
I know. Well, it's a little scary. I mean, obviously, with him being a little bit banged up this week. But I guess I'm with most of the Rider Nation right now. And also from a jealous play-by-play perspective, I wanted to see Harris and Fajardo. Like, I wanted both teams to put as much as they can on the line here. And one of the reasons for the Eskimos, and I get it with Trevor Harris, you want to be careful. This is a guy who couldn't even, like, throw the ball for 6 weeks. But at the same time, I don't think the Eskimos are in a position here where they can just mail one in and then all of a sudden get it back against the Montreal Alouettes in Montreal, where I've been two of the last 4 weeks. And the Alouettes, I mean, they're ready. They're ready to go. And I just don't know. An Eskimos team that's been so up and down all year, I don't know if it's the best thing to sit some of your big guns and not try to, you know, finish the season with a win and get some confidence heading into that playoff game.
Well, tell us about the Edmonton scene now. You got a new CEO who's a veteran in sports, likes to win. I think he's going to make a lot of changes from what I understand about him. So what do you think about the situation now in Edmonton? I mean, how important is it for Jason Moss to win?
It's very important for Jason Moss to win. I mean, he's probably going to have to – I've said a couple times on my show that I think he's probably going to have to win the entire thing if he wants to keep his job, because Brock Sunderland, you know, I thought he had a good offseason. He brought in a lot of good pieces in the offseason. Obviously, they had to deal with a few injuries so far along the way. I don't know how heavily involved the new president, Chris Preston, will be in making any sort of those decisions. Probably leave that up to Brock, because he's a guy who comes in with a big business background in sports. And I think that's important for the Eskimos and maybe the entire league, just to continue to build the fan base. And I think that's what Preston's main focus is, to kind of change maybe the culture of the organization in the community a little bit. But as far as on the field goes, I'm not too sure how much of an impact he'll have.
Brock Sunderland, what's the feeling about him, that he's done a job there or hasn't done a job? Well, he hasn't done much of a job. They haven't been a winner, so what's the feeling about him?
I think people are patient enough to let him try to go at this again. The fact that, you know, he hasn't had to make a coaching change just yet, or he hasn't made a coaching change yet, I think most GMs get one of those in their back pocket. So I could see him executing that this year. And he went out last year. It wasn't easy for him, because he comes in, he'd been there for a little while, and then they lose Mike Riley. I mean, the most sought-after free agent outside of Bo Levi Mitchell, but I didn't think anybody thought Bo was going to leave Calgary. So I thought he had a pretty good plan B to go bring in Trevor Harris, a guy he's familiar with, brought in Greg Ellingson as well, a guy who obviously Harris and Ellingson were like, let's go together. So what he did was what you would have thought what he was able to accomplish was to keep the Eskimos competitive in the West. I think the injury to Harris, nothing. I like Logan Kilgore as a guy. He's a great dude. But he wasn't even playing quarterback last year.
Playing at all, right?
Yeah, and he actually went 2-2 as a starter. So I don't know what that says about the competition that he faced. And you guys are going to look at him this weekend. He seems more comfortable when he kind of settles in and gets moving around a little bit. But I think there's some patience there with Brock. I don't think he has to be too worried about things. And I think he'll be just as aggressive this offseason as he was last offseason.
Dustin Nielsen with us from the CFL on TSN. And just, you know, back to this game for a second on a Rider vein, I guess it depends on how hurt Cody Fajardo is. And that's something that the Riders will never let anybody know in advance of tomorrow. I'm very interested to hear what Craig Dickinson has to say at his news conference, which you'll be at, right?
Yeah, we're heading over there. Yeah, we're heading forward. We have our sit-down interviews right after walkthrough at 12:30 today, so we'll get some stuff from him then, I would think.
Right.
He's a pretty open guy, right? I think he has been with us at least, so...
He is,
yeah.
But you know that we're in the danger zone now. It is officially November.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Things change.
Things change going into the playoffs, and I think there is some intrigue for this game tomorrow. And maybe he'll say, confirmed, Cody's starting, it was a one-day thing and it's fine, or we'll let you know tomorrow. That's what I think is going to happen, that we're not officially naming him the starting quarterback until Saturday. So that is some intrigue for you guys from a sizzle and hype perspective.
Yeah, right? Definitely a storyline for me and Dunnigan to talk about. How long will he stay in the game? How does he look early on? There's a lot of things for us to discuss there. And I mean, from Arash's point that he made a little bit earlier on about, you know, want him healthy in the postseason, I get it. But at the same time, I don't think the Riders are going to put this guy at risk just for this game if it's something significant. You know, if he wakes up tomorrow morning and goes, man, you know what, still just not feeling great, then I don't think they're going to run him out there. I mean, if he says, yeah, I'm about 90-95%, I'm good to go. Most guys are 90-95% right now, right? So I'm sure they'll be cautious with him, but if he was banged up right now, they wouldn't start him tomorrow.
Is Logan Kilgore capable of winning for the Eskimos?
I don't think against this Riders team with a lot on the line for the Riders. He's won a couple of times so far this year. I don't think, and many people have a lot of expectations for Logan Kilgore. And to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know how the rest of the guys are going to play tomorrow. I mean, what's the point of going balls to the wall if you know that your best receiver's not playing, your number one quarterback's not playing, even though he played last week, and there's nothing on the line for you outside of staying healthy in this game? Like, I would be shocked. I think the Eskimos are better than their record would lead us to believe so far this year, but that's with a full lineup. I would be shocked if they lost to the Riders tomorrow.
Sure, but that's the thing. John and I talk about this all the time, and there's a third member of our triumvirate by the name of Tom Shepard, if you may or may not have heard about him. He's a Canadian Football Hall of Famer, founder of the Friends of the Riders Touchdown Lottery, and he thinks, and I think he's right, that the Eskimos won free agency last February. They did, with the signings that they made.
Yep.
Well, they're 8-9, buddy. Probably going to be 8-10. And in crossover berth, how much is being said about that? Because I did have Dave Campbell on, who you would know well, yep, earlier this week, Eskimos color guy, and he agreed. It's a great team that can't win the big game. Well, who do you point the finger at there?
Coach. It has to be the coach. It has to be Jason Moss. The guy who hosts our pregame show on our radio station, Matthew Iwanek, he's been doing that show for probably 4 or 5 years. He's really passionate about it, and he's just been stating all year, and he's right. The Eskimos have not beaten a good team this year. I mean, against teams with winning records, they haven't won a game. I mean, they've beaten up on some of the weaker teams in the Canadian Football League. Not that there's a ton of them, but that's where they've managed to do most of their work. They have not beat a team with a winning record at that time. So, you know, I think that comes back around to Jason Moss, who, you know, I think will always have a job on the sideline somewhere in the Canadian Football League, not just as a head coach, but maybe as a coordinator. You know, if he didn't have ties to the Edmonton Eskimos, I'm not sure he would have been the head coach. You know, he might have taken a little bit more time as an OC and continued to develop before being ready.
I hear the fans are really, really down on him.
Well, because, I mean, the discipline issue is, it's been talked about for 3 years. I mean,
yeah,
the Eskimos are always one of the most disciplined, or least disciplined teams in the entire league. And I don't know how you can expect the players to stay calm and cool when Jason is just losing his mind so often. And he's a passionate guy. Like,
throwing stuff.
Yeah, that's why Jason Moss had success as a quarterback in the Canadian Football League, because he is as passionate as they come. He's as dedicated as they come. But as a coach, I think you probably have to rein that in a little bit. And when you're just naturally like that, I think that's probably a difficult thing to do. So, but I can see why, you know, throw a flag on one of the defensive linemen and he gets fired up. Well, then how can a guy who's already losing his mind on the sideline go over and say, you need to remain calm when you're losing it? You know, I think that's probably the biggest flaw for Jason Moss. And then I also think it's something that, you know, when he goes through this experience, you know, if he doesn't make it, you know, into next season or he goes somewhere else next, I think it's probably the biggest thing that he'll learn about what he needs to continue to do, you would
right.
think.
Well, what's funny, not funny, is that you're an Edmonton guy. Jason Maas is the same guy now that when he quarterbacked the Eskimos.
Yeah.
He's the same guy.
He
hasn't changed, and maybe it'll take a firing to realize you can't do those things.
Yeah.
But you're right. The message isn't getting through. It's been 3 years of the most penalized team in the league. Mike Booth is watching in Fort McMurray, Alberta this morning, and he says Eskimos 1-9 against playoff teams. That one win came against Montreal back in week one.
That's right, and they wouldn't have had a winning record at the time. So they have not beat a team with a winning record all season. And that was Montreal before they
got together.
Who do you speculate in your mind with your buddies? Who do you think would succeed? Jason Maas.
Jeez. I don't know. It's a tough call. I was chatting about with Dunk, who you have on every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
We were doing a game together a couple weeks ago, and he was suggesting, yeah, I don't know what the future is of Rick Campbell in Ottawa. It seems like it's going to be okay for a little while, but I think he'd be a guy who would definitely be on the radar. And then I think Marcel Belfay is another name that's kind of popped up a little bit as well. So that would be two guys.
We've heard he's actually in town, right? He's actually in Edmonton.
Yeah, he's very much behind the scenes, I think, kind of helping with things there and doing a little bit of, you know, advanced scouting and things like that. But, I mean, those are two names, but this is one thing that we've discussed a lot. It's not like there's 6, 7, 8 guys out there that you're lining up for jobs. I don't know if that's, Canadian Football League not doing a great job developing coaches, because there are definitely a few out there right now.
What about your defensive coordinator? He's a legend from Auburn, as you know.
Philip Lawley? As a head coach?
As American college football.
You wouldn't want it.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah.
I don't think he'd want it. Do you, Dusty?
I don't think he'd want it either. I think he's done an okay job, especially early in the season. The Eskimos deep. Remember,
it's a great defense.
The Eskimos defense, especially early in the season, was number one in like every category for about, I think, 3, 4, maybe even 5 weeks. And then, you know, and they were doing that actually without a couple of guys that they brought in. They weren't even healthy yet. So the defense might be the X factor, you know, in a playoff game against Montreal, if that defense can make a few plays. And, you know, a healthy Trevor Harris will definitely help. I like Montreal in that game, but I've been around the Alouettes quite a bit this year. I've done 5 of their games. There's a really good vibe around that team. Whereas opposed on the other side with the Eskimos, it almost seems like the exact opposite. And I read into that too much, but I think that's something you can look at heading into a playoff game like that.
Got a shout out from the boys at Great Western this morning. They're watching at the brewery. From Scott Henbury, their director of sales. Good morning, Rod and team. Go Riders. So they're on the train this morning. The boys at Great Western, you see, they got the case of beer up behind Dustin's head. I told the boys that they can't get into it till afternoon, Scott, and get the tailgating started just a little more than 24 hours ahead of the game. By the way, that was one of the questions that I had here to talk about this morning is, will midnight strike on the Cinderella Alouettes at any point through these playoffs? And I wouldn't like you. I was at Touchdown Atlantic in Moncton, and I just saw the vibe under Kahari, and he's still like a player. That's why somebody had asked her earlier, was Jason Maas fast track too quick to be a head coach? Maybe, but look at Kahari. He's not that far ahead of Jason, and he is potentially the coach of the year. Why would we believe the Alouettes are a Cinderella team that the clock's going to strike midnight, at least against Edmonton?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting with the Alouettes because they've been a great story, but at the same time, I think in their last 6 or 7 games, they've been alternating wins or losses, right? So it's not like they've won 5, 6 in a row here as of late. So they're definitely not a juggernaut heading into that playoff game, but they're at home. Having been there twice, the atmosphere there is great right now.
Yeah.
The football atmosphere in Montreal. And from what I've been told, because I mean, this is my first year getting out there and doing games, the last few years it was pretty low. Wasn't a lot going on there in Montreal, but it's kind of come back. And I think that's a positive. But I like Vernon Adams. I think he's just been gunning that thing around. I think he's at his best when he's also moving out of the pocket and doing some things there with his feet. But I think they could also be turnover prone against that Eskimos defense. Like if you're looking at one reason that the Montreal Alouettes might lose, it might be because of turnovers against the Eskimos D. But the Alouettes, I mean, we wanted to talk about it on our broadcast last week because we were out there for that game against Hamilton, and they were in a pretty good spot against Hamilton until they took Adams out of that game. Like with Vernon Adams, they might have won that football game. But they've got this thing that they do before the game, before before walkthrough, day before a game, after they do their meetings, Boris Beattie and the special teams set up Club 514. Have you seen this?
It's been
on some Instagram. And it's like a dance party for about 10 minutes right before they do walkthrough. There's a VIP section. There's a list to get in. They've got bouncers. They have 10 minutes, different theme tunes before every game. Kahari said at the beginning he wasn't even allowed into the club. And it's just like one of these really fun things that has brought that team together. They've got the name for it. They've got everything. And I've seen some videos of it. I think Stanback posted some of his videos on Twitter. And when you look at it, it looks like they're in a club. And it's 10 minutes. That's it. You have 10 minutes of fun, and then it's boom, out for walkthrough. They do it at home games. And it's just one of those little things that I think has really kind of brought that group together.
Because they don't get enough clubbing in Montreal in the evenings.
Yeah, there's nothing to do in Montreal at all.
Wow, that's just a warm-up for later in the day.
Up here on the screen here.
Hang on. We need to take a time out. But it's funny when you say that. We'll just get into this frenzy right after the break. But Rider fans here believe, and I think the Riders themselves, that this is a team of destiny. They're coming together. You hear all those fun things here, and I've just cautioned people that they think they're special in Hamilton. They think they're special in Montreal. Calgary knows they're special, and Winnipeg, depending on the day, I think believes they're special. So there's a lot of teams on the collision course here. There's going to be some broken hearts because only one team's going to be left standing. It's a fun ride going into these playoffs, but to pick a winner out of all of them, nearly impossible. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. And again, who should be in more trouble here as this regular season concludes this weekend? Corey Chamberlain or Devon Claybrooks? We're hearing more and more talk out of Vancouver that the Lions may be in line to make a head coaching change. And also, Dustin's guilty pleasure, I know, is Canada West football. And the semifinals go tomorrow. We have to talk about that. It's one of the biggest supporters of this show is Canada West football. So you're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Friday morning, Football Friday, on the Rod Peterson Show. Friday night football kicks off week 21 in the CFL. Montreal at Ottawa tonight, 5:30 on TSN. And we'll get to the Red Blacks here before this hour is over. Trust me. The CFL on TSN's Dustin Nielsen is with us in studio. He'll call the Riders and Eskimos tomorrow. And Hall of Fame Rider broadcaster John Frenzy is in the bunker as well, as he always is on Friday. But Dustin, if I may, your Golden Bears are into a Canada West semifinal. They're at the Huskies at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Dupes will be calling that one, or at least on the broadcast. Bisons at Dinos just before that at noon, so they're down to the Final Four. What's your take on the Canada West playoffs?
Calgary, they haven't had a great season, but they should take care of Manitoba at home. Manitoba's much better out in Winnipeg than they are on the road, so I like Calgary to be hosting the Hardy Cup again. And then the Huskies and Golden Bears are 1-1, I think, so far in that season series, right? So it's a rubber match. It's on the road for the Golden Bears. Their quarterback play has been big this year. That's one of the things with Chris Morris taking over that program a while ago now. People have been saying, you know, he's getting a lot of good recruits. He's doing a really good job there. You know, their offensive line, they've churned out some CFLers, but why haven't they had success? And I've said it, doing their games for a decade, they need a quarterback. You need a quarterback in Canada West football if you're going to have success. And they've got one this year. Brad Lonhart was just named to the, and he was one of the guys who stayed healthy this year, but he was named to the All-Star team. He's a guy who moves extremely well, but could also gun the ball. I think the Golden Bears don't have a lot of experience in this situation as opposed to a team that, you know, just won it all in the Huskies. So I would put them, you know, give them maybe a 15 to 20% chance of winning. And that's a step ahead. I mean, that's a good step in the right direction for Morris and the Golden Bears. So I'm looking at a Huskies Dinos Hardy Cup, and I don't think you can ask for much more. That was excellent last year, and they'll do it again.
It is the Yellowhead matchup. Yellowhead Trail matchup, yes, tomorrow. Right. Huskies and the Golden Bears. Now, back to the CFL, you heard my question before the break. Who should be in more trouble? Who is in more trouble, Corey Chamblin or Devon Claybrooks? Two non-playoff bound teams in two of the biggest markets in the CFL. And just over the last couple days, there's been this talk that Claybrooks is on the line, to the point where I see Lions fans and some players publicly on social media supporting Claybrooks. Like, please don't fire this guy. Deron tweeted that the day after their last game, or the game in Edmonton. You know, I love this coach. But when Farhan Lalji starts to report it, which he did on TSN Radio, that there might be a change, you're the one who said it, Lynch. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's right.
So, which I just don't think is necessarily fair to Devon. That's me. But what's your take on that? Either of you, pull your mic in, Lynch.
Well, I don't know. I thought, you know, that wearing the hat. What do you think that
doesn't matter? That's stupid. Who cares?
Well, no, that's stupid.
I wouldn't wear a hat like that, but that's his look, man.
I know. Talk to people out there.
Yeah,
they don't believe it's his first time. Maybe a head coach.
Well, that's the thing, right?
And he was only assistant for a couple of years, so they don't know if he can do the job. And they say they got a good club. They love Burnham, the receiver. They like Mike Riley, White, the running back. There are some good people on that football team. They could be a good football team next year. And if they are, the fans will go. They still say, put a good product in the field, and the fans will fill that park. And I know that because in my days of broadcasting, there was 45 to 50,000 per game, every game. So the fans are there.
Well, I hope they're there, because I went and did a game there this year, and there weren't many fans there in that one. But it's understandable. I mean, they're having a tough start. It's interesting because I think early in the season, people may have been questioning his structure and how things were operating. But you see these players really like to play for him. The other side of it, though, is that Ed Hervey does not have a lot of time for not winning. And, you know, Ed will not hesitate to make a change. So,
not an easy guy to work for.
Who, Herv?
Ed Hervey.
Yeah, I always got along with Herv. But I could see how that would probably drive a few people crazy. I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going to happen there. It is interesting to see some of the players coming out and talking about how good of a coach he is and how much they enjoy him. And I mean, so I think there's an element to having success, you know, just from having a relationship standpoint with your players. But at some point, it needs to lead to some results on the field. And he clearly didn't have that this year.
Well, I would think if Ed Hervey's talking or thinking about a coaching change, and let's not forget with the coaching salary cap, I just think that really throws a wrench into it in the first place. When the players and fans, frankly, are coming out to support a coach, I think you got to listen to that. Whereas totally the opposite thing in Montreal, when the players hated Mike Sherman and they were going to management about Mike Sherman, it ended up being the end of Mike Sherman. Because players that have a mutiny, you can't fire all the players. Right, Mike. And look what happened, by the way, with Mike Sherman.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing was, why did they not like Mike Sherman? I got a lot of friends in that Montreal organization. They said he's running it like old school NFL. He's running the guys into the ground. It's like military. It's not that way anymore. Do you guys not see that Devon Claybrooks is a new wave, renaissance type coach? Craig Dickinson calls it a transformational coach. which is the new way of saying a player's coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to toast Devon Claybrooks, who are you going to bring in?
Well, that comes back around to what we were just saying with Jason Moss as well. Like, there aren't five or six guys out there who are saying, ooh, boy, got to go get him, got to go get him, got to go get him. It seems to me when there's a coaching change in the Canadian Football League, it's like, well, who's left? Who's still out there? You know, and that's not an ideal spot for any business, whether it's a football team or a media company or whoever. It's not the best thing in the world to have to go, you know, get somebody who's already been there, who might be able to do it again, who might be able to have success. So, you know, there's some guys who might be coming along that you want to give a look to, but that's who these guys were. I mean, Jason Moss was going to be a guy. Let's see what he can do as a head coach. Same with Claybrooks. I mean, well, I hear Chamberlain hasn't had much success at all.
Kent Austin for Edmonton.
Oh, I'd be pretty surprised by that.
I think Kent, I saw Kent's name come up here. Somebody wrote in and said Kent. And what was the other name that I saw?
Yeah, I saw that too. It was Kent Austin.
Danny Barrett. Somebody wrote in and said Danny Barrett. I think those two are both done with the CFL. I'm sorry to say. And by the way, they're doing great. Kent's at Liberty. As you know, John, we talk about that all the time.
Very happy.
With his buddy Hugh Freeze, the head coach. And Danny is with the Houston Texans, one of the most exciting teams in the National Football League. DB is fine. So I appreciate those recycled names, but can we just look across the CFL right now and Orlando Steinauer and Kahari Jones and Craig Dickinson? These are all first-year head coaches that have their teams in the playoffs. And Mike O'Shea, we kind of go back and forth on, is he good or is he not? And is he even going to be there next year? Very Winnipeg-ish. Right, Lynch?
Right.
But, and Dustin, I can't let you get out of here. Not that you're going anywhere. Yeah. But without talking about the Winnipeg situation and Andrew Harris. I mean, in the rollout earlier for Flooring Superstore, I mentioned that I heard from the Bombers. And they just very simply want to be heard in that they think that Andrew Harris has served his penance, which is a two-game suspension, and it should be over. And as I said to the Bombers, well, the media doesn't feel that way, and I don't think the court of public opinion feels that way. They're not done with that. Mm. But Winnipeg's got a lot of questions going into the playoffs, obviously. It starts with their starting quarterback. I love the fact that they support Andrew Harris. Tremendous football player, from all accounts, a great guy. Just an awesome person. Where are you on Winnipeg with the Harris situation, and then are they a contender? Are they a legit contender?
Well, I think you said it. With he's a great guy, so that's why everybody, you know, still wants to see him be in the mix for most outstanding and, you know, top Canadian things along, just because he's a good guy. If he was a jerk, everybody be like, oh, you know, he deserves this because of the suspension, you know. So he's a good guy. I don't know if that means you should support him or not, but he's a good guy.
What do good guys do, Lynch?
They finish last, right?
They finish first, last, yeah, and they run the Kinsman Club.
Nice guys run the Kinsman Club. That's a Lynchism. Sorry to interrupt.
That's great, actually.
Yeah.
But no, I think the interesting thing there with Winnipeg is Zach Collaros. Yep. And you know what they're going to do at the quarterback position, because and I understand Zach Collaros wanting to continue to play football and continue to excel at it, but I'm scared watching him every single time. I mean, every time he gets hit, I go, oh no, please get up. And he did last game, but he got popped a couple times. But at the same time, he looked pretty good in that game. Now, I don't know. They're going to have both. Strebler's going to be available.
Yep.
And do you think they go back and forth between the two?
No, not if they're smart.
No, they just go.
Roll with Zach.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, for a guy who just joined them, who had an opportunity to start, who actually played very well for them in that
game. Looked great.
It would make no sense. And, you know, if he does, for some reason, get banged up and can't go, then you have Strebler you can go to. He's a guy who's obviously run your offense. Changes the way you play the game entirely. I like the Riders and the Stamps a little bit more. But Winnipeg's pretty legit as well. I mean, I think I saw somebody on the Facebook comments say that, has there ever been, you know, this much excitement recently heading into the CFL playoffs? And maybe because I'm closer to it this year than other years, I'm feeling that as well. But I get the same sort of sense. I mean, the three teams out here in the West, you could really make a case for any of them. Hamilton's had the best season in franchise history. The Alouettes are this little sweetheart club that I've fallen in love with, and I think a lot of people out there have as well. And the Eskimos healthy are still kind of intriguing. And they're heading out to Montreal to take on an Alouettes team that's kind of been up and down, even though we all are becoming big fans of them. So I'm really excited for the CFL playoffs. I know you said it earlier. I mean, there's probably five teams you could make a case for going on and winning this entire thing, and that's really fun compared to, hey, it's going to be Calgary again.
Yeah. And the intrigue to watch Edmonton, of course, is the coach's job. If you're a Jason Moss fan, some are, some aren't, but he's must-see TV too, and his fate kind of hangs in the balance of how Edmonton does. But you've started to hear this, our viewers and listeners have, on this program, and you're going to hear it more depending on how these playoff matchups shake down come Saturday night. But Zach Caleros beat Calgary twice last year as quarterback for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and he seems to have their number, and he did it last week with Winnipeg in a 29-28 win. So that is a story to obviously watch going into the playoffs. So there is some intrigue here. Somebody wrote me yesterday on social media and said, not since 2010 has the last game of the year meant anything for the Roughriders. I'm not sure that's true or not, but that's what the guy said. So it's been a long time for this particular football market. Back to the Ottawa thing for a second with the Red Blacks. What are they, 3-14 going into tonight? Obviously, Marcel Desjardins has been very, very good to me, very good to this show. He's been on a couple times. Rick Campbell's been on. Doesn't take a lot to win me over. Like I'll support them. Yeah. Butter me up and I'll support you. But I just think three Grey Cup appearances in 5 years there. Because when I said, do Red Blacks fans have a right to be as angry as they are? Lynch looked at me like, why wouldn't they? Well, they've had it pretty good after some really crappy football for 40 years. That's the truth. So can you give them a one-year mulligan? Now, I'm not a season ticket holder there. I may be completely out to lunch. A lot of times I am. But, gentlemen, can you just say, hey, it was a one-off? In the letter, did you see Dustin, the owner sent a letter to the season ticket holders in Ottawa and said, we believe this is an aberration. Sent me Googling aberration.
Yeah, of course.
It's something unexpected and usually a one-time occurrence, just so you know. Do they get off the hook for doing that?
I give them a pass.
I would.
You said it, man. They've had a lot of success there in the last 5 years. This is 1 year. They've obviously proven that they can build a team basically from scratch. And have success. So I would have faith in those two guys.
But they don't. You can't give away your three stars, your quarterback, top receiver. They're sensational. I was gonna say the running back.
That's four guys.
Yeah, that's right. But they need to get a quarterback. I mean, once again, it comes back down to it. You need to find a quarterback. And it's
but they told us in the, right here that Dominguez Don or the number one
Dominic Davis
could do it.
Yeah, I watched him early in the season. I didn't get the sense that he could be like a long-term starter. He moves extremely well. He's a big guy. And when he gets out in the open, he can move. That's early in the year. I did an Ottawa game against Montreal like week one or two or something like that. It was pretty early in the season. I think he showed flashes, but I mean, you've seen it this season. Dane Evans has stepped in and looked great. Cody Fajardo, who's had a little experience in league, obviously, had an opportunity this year to look great. Look at Arbuckle in Calgary. Arbuckle looked great. I think when I did a Stampeders game a couple weeks ago, Arbuckle had better numbers than Levi Mitchell still.
And Fatty Arbuckle is going to be a free agent
this
season.
That's what I mean. Like there are some guys
here. He could fetch some dough.
That you could make some money and you could rebuild your team around one of these guys who've proven this. Arbuckle would be crazy probably to stay.
Our quarterback situation right now in the league, you guys, that's pretty good.
It happened by why? Nine starters going down with injury. Right. It happened almost by accident.
Yeah, but it showed that the talent's there, right? So for a team like Ottawa, I mean, some of these teams have two quarterbacks. You need to get one that you feel. Maybe they are confident in what they have right now, but the record doesn't back it up.
Did you read the article in the Ottawa Sun this week on Henry Burris, which actually I think came from an interview Henry had done on TSN Radio?
I did not read that one.
Okay, well, Henry just absolutely eviscerated Marcel Desjardins for screwing him over on contract deals and promising Trevor Harris a job before he even had the job, and this and that. And Chris Melos chimed in and said, "He's right. This is the truth. You tell him, Hank." And I'm like, so the GM screwed over players. That would be the first time that ever happened. And he was doing it all for the good of the Ottawa Redblacks. Marcel Desjardins wasn't embezzling money. He wasn't finding creative ways to get around the salary cap. He was doing it to win and to fit under a salary cap. So I would think if I'm his boss, good for you, Marcel. It worked.
Yeah.
We won a Grey Cup with Hank, and then we went to the Grey Cup with Trevor Harris. So maybe it didn't work out this year. But I just think that because of what they've done, he's got some equity there on the market. And like you say, if with all these quarterbacks becoming available, Jeremiah Masoli is another guy that's going to be on the market in the offseason.
Which is interesting, yeah, because early in the year you're thinking Ticats lock him up long term, but now Dane Evans is really good. Like, so what do you do there? But Jeremiah Masoli, I mean, if the Ticats don't keep him, why would Ottawa not go heavily in on Masoli?
And the one that Lynch and I can't figure out, and we talk about it every time we're together, is Eric Tillman builds these Hamilton Tiger Cats, and where is he? You know, you said it today in the car, Lynch, on the way up here. One Grey Cups in three different cities. He built the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Like, if we were to do a GM of the Year award this year, which I hope before they throw dirt on me and I'm dead in the ground, the CFL does institute a GM of the
Year
award.
You've talked about that for a long time.
Yeah. For years I've been talking about it. Well, why wouldn't you? But if Hamilton wins the Grey Cup and you want to vote for GM of the Year, who are you giving it to for Hamilton? Because ET built them.
That's a good point.
Now, and why is
I'm giving it to Kavis anyway. Look at what he built in Montreal.
What a great team.
You know what's funny? We were talking about it. Somebody from Montreal was talking to somebody who covers the team there. Was just like, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, Kavis put some of these guys in place. He goes, but he broke the rules to get it done. Like, so.
And lost his
said
job.
He deserves no credit at all, even though he already lost his job.
Well, they're called circumvention of the salary cap.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
Good language. Yeah, right? Circumvention of the salary cap.
Well, that makes it sound official, like it's a thing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
The football guys say, they really do respect Kavis Reed, and they like him a lot. These are the coaches and the scouts. They like Kavis.
I love Kavis.
Right.
He's been great for our show over the years.
Right. Yeah. So Kavis has a lot of fans, but if he's guilty of what he's being accused of, I don't know how you could defend that. And I know you're facetiously saying GM of the Year in the
CFL. I was obviously just joking. But it's interesting. This is another one of those things where you look at people in powers of position around the league. Now, Kavis will probably pop up again somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the Canadian Football League, no matter like whether what he did was a one-off or it's happened in other places and nobody talks about it, he'll be back.
By the way, Chris Stover writes in, he says, O'Day is GM of the Year, rebuilt Canada's team on short notice with his hands tied. And believe me, you don't need to convince me of that.
For sure.
I'm the marshal of that parade. But in Calgary, my God, they almost hung me in effigy for even suggesting that Huff's not GM of the Year. So at least we're talking about this. You know. And by the way, before we break it for hour one, and coming up in hour two, what do we got? Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran, and Mighty Mouth Bryn Griffiths. Somebody wrote in about Chris Jones potentially returning to the CFL. And Dusty, you're a huge NFL guy, huge NFL fantasy guy. Clearly, you're following what's going on in Cleveland. Yeah. Lynch, you watch the NFL Network 24/7. You know, and I watch ESPN every morning, and they talk about Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield every single day on ESPN. And they say Freddie Kitchens is over his head, and Baker Mayfield's too immature. He's never going to get it. Right. I just don't think that they're going to fire that Kitchens staff at all. I think they're a young team. They're a young staff. I think that if the owner's smart, he'll let them come through this. And I don't think Chris Jones, if he has his say or a choice, he's never coming back
to the
CFL. What
about the press conference yesterday? Baker Mayfield's press conference.
Oh, so he walked out on a reporter. I'm surprised more guys don't do that.
You swear at it.
So what?
Okay.
Sometimes reporters are annoying, Lynch. Newsflash.
It's true. some of the guys I've interviewed, I would have walked out on me too. So, I mean, it's interesting because Freddie Kitchens might be in over his head a little bit.
You think so?
There was a play, I think it was against New England. They were 4th-and-11, so they were going to punt, but then they took a 5-yard penalty. Then he brought the offense back out.
And ran it.
And gave up a sack. What are you doing? It was 4th-and-11, you're going to kick, you take a penalty, so it's 4th-and-16, now you're going to go for it?
I hear from my buddy of mine down there that Greg Williams, who did the job last year, got them that good record last year. They fired him and brought in Freddie Kitchens because Jimmy Hansen, I guess it is the owner, loves Freddie Kitchens.
I think a lot of people love him.
Love him.
Unless you're not winning in Cleveland.
This is his first job as a head coach.
That's true.
So I think you got to take some lumps there.
I don't think they're going to fire him at any point this season. I mean, they're still better than most Browns teams.
They've won some games.
Exactly. He's probably the most successful coach in Browns history over the last 20 years.
He probably
20-25. Absolutely.
That's the truth. He probably is.
Dustin Nielsen with us from the CFL on TSN and TSN 1260 Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. And again, coming up next hour, Dusty sticking with us, but also Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran, now the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Bryn Griffiths, Edmonton sportscaster, Mighty Mouth, to talk more Eskimos, Riders, and a little on the Edmonton Oilers. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Friday morning, episode number 107. You're watching on Facebook Live, listen live at rodpeterson.com, and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale
of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.